The federal government has now set a target for Australia to cut carbon emissions by at least 26% by the year 2030. The government has been under pressure from other world leaders to name the target it'll take to the United Nations Climate Change Conference in Paris in November. At the conference, world leaders will attempt to forge a new international agreement to contain global warming in order to avoid sharp increases in the severity of storms, floods and droughts. In Canberra, Brendan Trembath reports.
At a meeting last night, senior Abbott government ministers discussed Australia's long-term plan to reduce pollution from sources such as coal-fired power plants and cars, trucks and buses. The finance minister, Matthias Cormann, says Australia is on track to meet and exceed pollution reduction targets agreed to at an international meeting in the Japanese city of Kyoto in 1997.
Australia's effort so far on a per capita basis when it comes to emissions reduction is one of the best in the world. We would expect that moving forward, Australia's emissions reduction effort on a per capita basis will continue to be leading the world.
He says it's important to reduce carbon pollution without harming the economy.
The coalition has a very strong track record in achieving responsible emissions reductions here in Australia in a way that does not detract from economic growth.
But some coalition MPs worry about the impact on their electorates. The West Australian Liberal MP Dennis Jensen warns that steeper emission cuts will mean more expensive electricity.
Personally, I think it would be damaging. I think that what you're doing is you're going to be forcing electricity prices up, obviously, because you will be forcing more renewables onto the market, because we don't, for instance, have nuclear power as an option to reduce those electricity-generated emissions.
Dr. Jensen was disappointed that the government's target was given to reporters before the backbench. But another coalition MP, Andrew Lamming, was more positive about the government's plan. In an interview with ABC News 24, he called the cuts responsible.
You know, they trim two-thirds of $1 billion off your economy each year at 2030 and result in slightly slower economic growth. But I think we all have to chip a little bit of that together. And then remember that when you get there to Paris, we all negotiate anyway. So this is simply what you're taking to the table.
The ABC understands the Cabinet agreed on a cut of between 26% and 28%, depending on the economic impact. The base date is 2005. The opposition climate change spokesman Mark Butler told Radio National that a 26% target would put Australia at the back of the pack.
Countries to which we often compare ourselves, like the US and the United Kingdom, Germany, countries like that, all have targets in an equivalent time frame into the 40% range. So 41% for America, 48% for the UK.
The Australian Greens Party accuses the federal government of manipulating the numbers by picking a base year of 2005 when emissions were higher. Greens MP Adam Bandt.
That's the patient who bumps up their cigarette smoking to two packs a day the day before they go and see the doctor so that they can then be proud of cutting down to only one pack the day after. The government must not fudge the numbers. The government must use the same baselines that the European Union is using and that the international negotiators are using so that we can be sure that we're comparing apples with apples.
The independent Senator for South Australia, Nick Xenophon, urges the Australian government to aim for deeper emission cuts. He says other developed nations have done it.
I note that Canada, which a Conservative government, pretty much in lockstep with the Abbott government on many issues, is looking at a much more ambitious target of 30%. I note that the UK, again a Conservative government, they're looking at much more ambitious emissions reductions targets.
While there might be high hopes that developed and developing nations meeting in Paris will agree to a new global deal, the last attempt was a failure. In Copenhagen in 2009, national leaders failed to agree on a meaningful global agreement.
Brendan Trembath reporting.